tonight. We are, after all, human beings who struggle with life, and we are on the earth as you were, and yet in other respects we are cursed with the human nature, the nature of sin, of the old man, the flesh. And of course you were born with the without the sin of Adam in you. So you understand that we need more help. We need daily help and understanding and mercy, which you have promised to give us. So as we look into the Word tonight, we pray that the Holy Spirit will minister to the hearts of His children in spite of the instrument, who would not normally be able to help at all. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we're going to the 14th of John. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And last week, we were just briefly remind you, we were showing you the tremendous impact of a statement like that, that God cares about your troubled nature, your troubled spirit. He wants you not to be troubled. He has the power to handle your life. He has the power to protect your spirit. But sometimes in protecting and cultivating your spirit, He has to be a little hard on you in the flesh. We want you to understand that. Do not assume that because you're having lots of trouble in the flesh and the natural life that God has forsaken you. That may be more a sign He's with you, and it may be more a sign that you are able to bear things. If the Lord gives you a lot of affliction or allows you to have it, He must assume you have the power to handle it, or you have the capacity to handle it. So James says, count it all joy when you fall into many testings, because you thereby are growing, you're being tested, and God figures He can give you that kind of a test. You don't like it, but you get it. Like a lot of things that you have to go through in training, you don't like them, but you have to do it. So God is testing you, and He is honoring you by affliction, which may be kind of a backhanded way to look at things. Take it as a gift of grace from Him that He allows you to suffer for His sake. But He's doing this all for your spirit. Now, it's ridiculous to compare other people around you to say, well, so-and-so is prospering and so-and-so is prospering, because you don't know what's going on inside your spirit. They may look pretty good, but a lot of people in this world look good that aren't very good. So don't compare anybody else. God's doing His thing with you. Then again, if you compare the outside and what looks like prosperity, you're looking at the wrong thing. It's what's inside that counts. It'd be like going out the racetrack, auto racing, and you see some guy with a really beautiful exterior on his automobile, but it's missing all the way around the track, you know. But he looks great, and you say to yourself, boy, that guy's sure to win. He's got the most beautiful car out on the track. But that doesn't always work that way. It's what's under the hood that counts, right? And that you can't see. Now, in your case, mine, as human beings, it's what's under the hood that counts. It's the spirit that counts. Jesus said that. The flesh profits nothing. So when you look at somebody and compare their outward appearance with your inward spirit, you're making a wrong comparison. So don't bother. Don't worry about it if they look like they're prospering. Maybe they're just too, maybe they just haven't got enough guts to take any more than that. Maybe you have to feel sorry for them. Maybe. That's not always true. I'm just saying maybe. If they haven't got any trouble, maybe it's because they haven't got any fortitude. Intestinal fortitude, we better say that. I can honestly say to you and convey to you Jesus' word not to be troubled. And if you tell me, well, look at all the problems and afflictions I'm having you, I say, He tells you not to let your heart be troubled, not to let your spirit be troubled. So when Jesus says to these disciples, let not your heart be troubled, don't think these are empty words. They're not. And I can say them to you or to anybody, no matter what the affliction they're in, I can say, don't let your spirit be troubled. Your body, yes. If you've got an ache somewhere, you can't help from hurting, right? If you've got a pain in your heart, your soul, you got a pain, you've got some emotional problem, that is to say, you've got some trouble and you may want to weep. That's all right. You can weep. The soul, the natural person, can't help but feel the effects of life. Sometimes Christians can be a little bit phony in this matter, you see. So they seem to think that it is wrong to hurt. If you're really with Christ, you're not going to feel any pain. You're always going to be in victory, always going to be shouting, hallelujah. That can be pretty phony. You can be laughing on the outside and crying on the inside, but that's not too cool, you know. So let the tears come. Feel the affliction. Don't shut it off. But your inner spirit, that's something else. See? You can say, all right, Lord, the whole world's caving in on top of me, but I'm still with you. And that's the real victory. All right. Jesus says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. Monai, Greek word there. And it's the same word exactly as the one used over a little further where he says, Jesus answered and said to him, if one love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our monane, our dwelling with him. Now, you see, I want to caution you about this word mansion. I've talked about it before, but people get the wrong impression. They think that heaven's going to be a lot of marble palaces, and they're working for a place to live up there. It's not that way at all. Of course, the reason the King James Version uses mansion is because that was an old English word for dwelling place. Now we use mansion to mean some great estate somewhere, some palace. But a lot of the songs are written that way. We're going to have a palace up there. We're going to have a mansion over the hilltop. And it seems to me they're more anxious for heaven to get away from their trouble and to have a mansion to live in than to be with Christ. Now, actually, if a person is focused on Christ, if that's who they're concerned about, they have him down here. No need to wait till they get over there. If you could see this picture, that right now you and Christ are together in the battle, I can't think of a better companion in the fight than Christ. He's a pretty good street fighter. If you're in the jungle, you want somebody who's geared for the jungle. If you're out in the street in a fight, you want a street fighter. You don't want some mathematician or some egghead there with you. You want a street fighter. Now, Christ is pretty good in the clinch. He's pretty good in the fight. Now, suppose that you get married. So you marry the girl, and you take her to the place you've provided for, the home, and she takes one look at it, and she says, I'm not going to live there. Okay. Tell you what, call me up when you've prospered enough to get a decent house for me, and then we'll get back together again. Now, that wouldn't go over so good, would it? If she's not willing to go with you in the clinches, in the fight, the survival battle, she's not going to be much good to you in the mansion, right? Now, here is Christ with us now in the fight, every step of the way. Closer than anybody will ever be to you. Everybody else will let you down one time or another. People are great at letting you down. You may have had some experience with that here and there. But Jesus never lets you down. He'll be right there with you in every battle you ever enter. Don't miss out on the fun of entering into a good fight with Christ inside. You can sit around waiting for heaven all the time, you know, and if you get through this life to heaven without having much of a fight, you've missed a lot of the fun. At least realize that as long as Christ is in the boat, it's not going to sink. As long as he's with you, no matter how tough the fight, he's going to carry the load. You may have to slip out on the sidelines, and he's going to go on and carry the fight out. But it's just like going back to this marriage thing. If you've ever been through rough times, you know that it can be a time when a man and his wife can be very close together. Now, it doesn't always work that way, I realize, but it can be a great experience. But at least one thing you know, Christ is not going to let you down. And it can be a good experience to go through the tough times with the sense of support that Christ gives you. You may be, when you get to heaven, a little bit sorry it's all over down here. That's a little heavy to say, but I remember a comment that I heard about, this old sourdough that was one of the original pioneers in the West out here watched the thing develop, and he was reminiscing about this, and he's telling about how things had changed. Yeah, but you know, by George, he said, wouldn't it be great to tear it all down and start over again? He wanted to go back to the old days of the fight, see? Well, I don't want to be Pollyanna about it and saying everything is lovely when it isn't, but I'm rather saying to you this. The dwelling place everybody's looking for in heaven is Christ after all. If you're looking for something other than Christ in heaven, you get your eyes on a shaky deal. See? But if you're looking for Christ, you can have him down here. With the intriguing process of going through the battles, the struggles. Well, mull it over in your mind a little bit. Think about that. Is Christ going to be more real to you in heaven than he is here? And if you're looking for heaven just for a mansion, a palace in the sky, you might be on the wrong track. But a lot of it, we've left the theology to the poets. I think the hymn writers write more of our theology than the teachers do. Because it's pretty hard to get away from some of those songs. You know, I used to sing them, I remember. Got a mansion over the hilltop and so forth. It's not one of my favorite songs. Okay. So now, here are the dwelling places. The dwelling place is God. Remember, the name Jesus given to him at his birth was Emmanuel, which means in Hebrew, God with us. That's what it's all about. God with us. Count everything else but loss for that. If you've got Christ with you, nothing else really matters that much. Now, let's go on. In verse 2, he says, in my Father's house many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. Because I'm going to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, there's a place in the sun. It's a wonderful thing to have a place to go. I remember days when I was loose on the road, and I remember one night I was hitchhiking out across Alabama, and it was about 2 o'clock in the morning,
Don't ask me why I was 5 miles out of town at 2 o'clock in the morning. I was one of those guys that when he hitchhiked, I kept walking. You know, I didn't just lie down and hold a sign up between my toes. I walked. And I remember I'd eaten some supper in Montgomery in a roadhouse out there. I was out on the road alone, so just a young fellow going out around the country. And I just kept walking and walking. Very cold. It was in February. Occasionally a car would come by, they'd turn into a road somewhere. And you look over there, and there's a little farmhouse, got some lights in the window. And I kept thinking, man, aren't they lucky? They got a place to go. I didn't have any place to go. And I keep thinking that. Ever so often you'd see a house with some lights in there, and you'd look in there and you'd say, these people have a place, that's lucky. I can get kind of lonely out there sometimes in this old world. And many a young person has been kicked out of the house by impatient parents. And many have left under pressures, one kind or another. Many young people have left home because they felt they weren't good enough. Somehow that thought was conveyed to them that they were the troublemaker of the family and the black sheep and all the rest. You know the story. Dad keeps telling me you'll never amount to anything, never amount to anything. Pretty soon kids get a feeling, well, maybe I'm an embarrassment to Dad or Mom. Maybe I'm just more trouble than I'm worth. I think I may have mentioned here that I've had quite a lot to do with young people that have run away from home. The statistics are that more young people run away from home because they feel they've let their parents down than because they're unhappy with the home situation. For me, home has never been four walls and a ceiling. It's always been wherever the people were that cared for me. Somebody said once, home is the place where somebody understands you. Home is wherever the people are that care for you. The people you're related to, the people you're tied with. Now broaden it out and say that home is wherever Christ is. Whether you're sleeping on the ground, one thing is certain. That home is where Christ is, and Christ is more stable than any person on earth. So when you have family and friends, bring them to Christ. That's where home is. If they want to be home with you, they're going to be with Christ. That's home. The others may where you hang your hat, but it's not home if Christ isn't there.
And he's not going to be any more real to you in heaven than he is down here.
Now Jesus said, the Son of Man has not a place to lay his head. That's the great thing about Christianity. You have always a place. And if this world should pass away, you still have a place. We're talking about that earthquake.
Well, if you're in four walls and a ceiling, that can shake down around your head and give you a headache.
So you may lose that home. You know, they're talking about a real corker here in California. It's going to shake the place apart. But to never shake Christ. The psalmist says that I shall not be moved.
God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. It's a good verse to the Californians. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place, tabernacles of the Most High. Now that city, you see, people keep thinking of Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem, as a great shining metropolis. Well, I'll tell you, the way, let's take Los Angeles, for example, down there, the way they've been putting that city together for the last 20 years, it's turned out to be a pretty beautiful city. You go up on a mountaintop somewhere, you come in a jet, come down in over L.A., a beautiful place. Now, a lot of people think that Jerusalem is going to be a beautiful city coming down out of heaven. I've had all the cities I want, tell you the truth. But what does the Revelation say to 21? It says, New Jerusalem comes down as a bride adorned for her husband. He likens New Jerusalem to the bride adorned for her husband. He's not talking about buildings. What if you, a fellow saw his girlfriend here, his wife, and she's dressed very nicely and says, boy, you look like the music center. You look like the Empire State Building. She's not going to go for that. Now, when the Bible says that New Jerusalem was like a bride adorned for her husband, he's not talking about buildings. He's talking about something a lot better than that. He's talking about people. Heaven is people. You can be with some people, some believers, where it's just really, you couldn't really ask for anything greater than to be with those people. It's just a beautiful experience. You'd love to be there with another. Some people, that's not quite the way it is. It's a little different than that. It's more like hell. Not all people are like that. But there have been times when you've been with Christian people and had some fellowship together, and it was just such a beautiful atmosphere. You wouldn't want anything. You couldn't handle it if it were any nicer than that. How could you handle it? It's just great. So heaven is not going to be buildings. It's fellowship. It's people. And that's what the city is. And we haven't got time to nearly go into it here, but the foundations in this New Jerusalem, well, he talks about all these precious stones. I went into that down south in a study of Revelation once to show that what we're really dealing with there are the colors of the spectrum. Every one of those precious stones represent the 12 color values there. And you can get those colors out of ranging all the way from purple to the red tones and back in that cycle. All the colors are there, the greens, yellows, orange, all that. It's all represented in those stones. Now what you're talking about, of course, color is energy. The spectrum represents energy, because the value of a color is like the frequency of waves of energy. See, and you measure the distance between the peaks of the crest of the wave to tell the color value, you see. In other words, the energy is tied in there. So what we have here in the description of heaven is the pure energy of God manifested through the people of God. And you have all these spirits together. They're spirit beings all together encompassing the universe. And since we will then be focused in the spirit rather than the old body, the whole universe is our playground, so to speak. In other words, you now anything beyond the Cucamonga is out of our reach. You know what I mean by that? I mean, we can get in a can and go to the moon, but that's about it. You know, it's going to be a while before we can send somebody to Mars, but even then, that's such a petty little distance, you see. Some of these points, some of the stars would take you 80,000 years to get there. Can't handle it at all, but then we can handle it, you see. Our spirits are such that we'll be able to encompass the entire universe. You'll get to find out what those galaxies are like out there. I mean, who wants a house? Sit in a house somewhere, you sit on a porch and rock? Look, you got a universe out there to explore. Who wants to sit in a home somewhere? It's energy and people, the people of God, and Christ at the center. But you have it now, in a measure. You can fellowship with the Lord's people. You don't need to run to some stale old bar down there and hear a lot of crummy jokes. You can get together with the Lord's people and have a wonderful time. And you got the energy of Christ within you, and you got His presence with you. The only difference is you got a few fights to fight down here. Keeps you from getting bored. Things are too nice, you get bored. Christ says, I'm going away to prepare a place for you, and I'll receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be. Now, he really fulfilled that in the book of Acts already. I'm going to go away for a while, preparing a place, I'm going to come again. He came already. Now, there is a second coming, too. There's a return of Christ. But in a sense, he came already in the Holy Spirit to dwell with us. Already set it up inside of us. If you're looking for something else, you're missing it. A lot of people are so busy looking for the next step that they can't appreciate the one they're in. You find that in high school all the time. The teens can be a wonderful, happy, carefree, happy-go-lucky time if they would let it be. But a lot of times the teenagers are so busy trying to be adults that they don't ever have the enjoyment of being a teenager. And the high school, of course, junior high school kids are all looking for high school. High school kids are looking for college. The college kids are looking for the work routine. The workers are looking for retirement. Everybody's looking for something. So why not just stop right this minute? Quit running. Just stop and say, wait a minute. I've got it now. I have Christ in my heart now. We got to dispatch a couple of foes over here first, and we're going to go on together to heaven, but I got him here right now. I've got the fellowship of Christian friends right now. I got a place to go. I've got a home in Christ. I've got his energy within me right now. Paul says, lay hold of eternal life. Do it now. Christ is never going to be any nearer to you throughout eternity than he is right now in the jungle, in the midst of your battle. Well, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this moment together. May the Spirit of Christ truly make real within our hearts the truth that he wants to get across. In his name we pray, amen.